Wednesday, DGS getting underway following the Cardinals 5-0 loss to the Pirates. Obviously, Dave is out today. That's why you're hearing me. We mentioned yesterday he left the show a little bit early to attend to some things with his mom. He's talked about it quite a bit over the last several months, but she's been in hospice, and certainly we're with Dave in spirit, if not in person, hoping everything turns out okay. But if you guys want to keep him in your thoughts, that would be great as well. And we'll obviously be hearing from Dave here in the not too distant future, but he'll be out today, and we'll kind of assess. He's day to day as things are at this point. So Rachel's here, Andrew's here, I am here. We'll continue on business as usual for these couple of hours, which are always, you know, we joke about it all the time. We sit back in the office and we're like, when's the game going to end? What time do you think we're going to go on? And we always have a vague idea, but we play that weird game every time. And then we come in here right at the end of the post-game show, and I come to the realization of just how tall Matt Pauly is.
He's quite tall.
And just how short I am in reference to that. Like, I've lived my whole life, you guys, like, as the shortest guy in the room, because I'm generally around athletes, right? Like, I grew up playing sports, played sports in college, covered sports. As a college intern, I covered the Miami Heat for the local TV station down there when I was doing my internship, and I'm standing there like on a step stool trying to interview 7 foot tall John Sally, and go, like, so I'm used to being around tall people a lot are taller than me, and I know that, like, in the real normal world, most people are not that much taller, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what's the average height of a dude? Is it like 5'10"?
Yeah, I would think so.
Something
right?
like that, right?
It's like 5'3", and we're just super tall.
Yeah. But I think, you know, like, I'm in the 5'8 neighborhood. My coaches used to list me at 5'9", which was an exaggeration. Not even in shoes am I 5'9". But so I go by the 5'8 thing, probably somewhere in there. I haven't measured since college, because who cares?
Like, it'd be weird if you were measuring yourself
right,
all the
like,
time.
Like, if I'm like a little kid going up into the, you go into the kitchen and there's like lines on the wall. How tall is Kevin? How tall is he at age 52 compared to age 42? Anyway, I've always known that in the sports world, I'm vertically challenged, and I don't care. Nobody should care about how tall they are, because you didn't do anything to achieve your height. You won the gene pool lottery if you're tall, unless you don't like being tall. I know a few people that are like, I wish I wasn't so tall. It would be easier. But anyway, I'm always struck by Matt Pauly, because Matt stands when he does the Cardinals post-game shows and things. Mm-hmm. I think he does that for Sports Open Line, too. Well, Matt, if I'm guessing, is about 6'4". He's a tall dude. Mm-hmm. And we have a table in here that raises up to whatever level you want it to be at. Like, if I'm standing now, the table's probably about waist high. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting in a chair that is also high, so I'm kind of like normal. When I walked in today, the table was like almost chin high on me. Like, that's how high Matt Pauly has the table when he's standing to do the show. So when I follow that, I feel like a kid following his dad at work. Like, I'm sitting in his dad's chair, and the table's all the way up to my face. Like, let's see, let's play this game right now. I'm going to put the table all the way up to where it was. See why you can't hear me anymore? Because my mouth is moving that far away from the microphone. So it's about face high now because I'm sitting down in a really tall chair. That always strikes me.
I always respect the people that stand to do their shows. I used to stand when I would run the board. And then I just got extremely lazy, and now I'm like all slumped down in my office chair. Now if I stand up, I'm like ready to go. Like, come on, let's do a segment.
I haven't really paid attention because Dave goes back and forth, right?
Yeah, like he used stands to always sometimes, stand. He used
and
to
sometimes
stand
in the
every
chair.
Day.
Yeah, I don't like. You know why I don't like it? It's weird. It's not about the standing part. I mean, I stand literally all day when I'm coaching or whatever. It's not so much that. It's that I don't feel like I'm at work when I'm doing that. I don't know. It doesn't feel like I'm in work mode if I'm standing. I feel like if I'm talking, normally when you sit around and talk, you sit around and talk. You don't stand around and talk very often. But I don't know why. Maybe because my early habits were formed sitting. Like, you know, the first place I worked, you didn't really have the choice to stand and do the show if you wanted to. Like, you could, but you'd have to hold the microphone up the whole time instead of being able to, like, set it up high and stand there. So maybe just I built those habits early and it feels wrong. Because Reardon stands, I think, during the whole show. He did when he was over here.
And he runs his own board.
And he runs his own board.
He sits over there.
Does he sit over there?
I believe so, yeah.
That's probably because he got old.
Yeah.
He's not that old, though.
He's old.
No, he's not. He's not. He's definitely the guy that looks younger than he is, though. He does not. And Dave is, too. I think they both fall into that category. Like, if you met them and said, and they were to be like, hey, put you on the spot, how old am I? You would guess 10 years younger easy.
Yeah, I think so.
Based on personality, demeanor, you know, just the way they look, the way they move and all that, which I think is good because that's the trend in the world, right? Like, we're all moving better, you know, like aging better than we used to. Like, I look at my parents. My parents are in their mid-70s. They don't look to me like people in their mid-70s. They don't move like people in their mid-70s. My dad was playing baseball until a year ago. like, when you think about that, and you're like, when I think of, like, my grandparents, when they were that age, they see, maybe it's just my perspective of being younger.
Mm-hmm.
But I was an adult when my grandparents, so I think on my mom's side, my grandma on my mom's side was in her 40s when I was born, right? So she was young when I was a kid, but when you're a kid, you think everybody's old.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when she was 75, I would have been 30. So I would have been, I've been about your guys' age roughly. So I would have been conscious of, wow, that's not really that old, but it seemed older mm-hmm. than what I see in my parents now. Like they don't look as old. Like, I guess people, maybe things have just gotten better with, I don't know. My dad doesn't do it, but like my mom, you know, when she gets her hair done, it looks like she's 10, 15 years younger mm-hmm. than she is. I don't know. Maybe that's just relative.
Everyone yeah. started wearing sunscreen. That's very good.
Oh, that's a good point.
Anti-aging.
That's true.
No, that's a really good point. I always joke though that like I'm going to get sick eventually from the sunscreen because I use so much.
The aerosol can.
I use
or
the spray. Yeah, I don't like the lotion. Sucks.
Yeah, I try to. I don't try. I use sunscreen every morning before I go out and play tennis, and I have this like 70 SPF,
yep.
but it's lotion.
Oh,
and like I just can't be bothered to do it, so I have a spray that yep. I spritz on instead. I think the lotion probably works better.
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm outside all day, every Saturday and Sunday from April until now, until mid to late July. And I have not gotten a sunburn once this year.
Nice.
I mean, you can see that there's color where there isn't in the winter, right?
Yeah.
Like it's a little like the farmer's tan, the mm-hmm. baseball tan where it's, mm-hmm. you know, just your basically above your elbow down to your hand and then the neck and face and all that. I know I've got the raccoon look because I'm always wearing sunglasses. So it's like the forehead is white and the eyes areas are like really light. And mm-hmm. then it's darker on the cheeks and stuff down below. I know it's a normal, like it's the totally coach's tan the way it works. But I didn't get a sunburn once in 4 months just using sprays. I only use the spray kind. I think it covers more evenly. Like you don't miss spots.
That makes sense.
But I use a lot though. Like what do you think is a normal amount to use? Like if you're going to be out for 4 hours.
I mean, I try to reapply rather than put on a ton at once, you know?
No, that's what I do. But like in a 4 hour window, I probably hit it three times.
Mm.
Five times. In a 5 hour window, three times. I get one. Let's say I'm going out this weekend and we had a 10 o'clock game. So I'll get there at 8:30 and I'll probably do a hit right there when I first get there. But that'll be kind of a quick light. All right, it's morning. It's not that bad. And then right before the game, there's another hit. And then somewhere in the middle of the game, there's another hit. Like if we have two games, it's going to be more. If it's going to be like it's nonstop, I get made fun of for it. But I'd rather do that than get a sunburn.
What do they say to you?
Oh, they just tease me. I mean, like some of the guys that I coach with have said I should invest in sunscreen. Like I should start my own brand, Wheels Up Sunscreen.
That's how they say you should get started in investing is just to invest in the things you're passionate about. So if you're a big Coca-Cola fan, you should buy stock in Coke. I mean, I have no idea what I'm talking about.
All right, What's that?
I'm going to go buy some Coke stock real quick.
Okay, good job.
I'll be back.
So I don't have any skills or abilities to develop a sunscreen. But let's say I could find one of those companies that does a no name thing and you can do that. What if it smelled like if you had different kinds, one of them smelled like the beach?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be all right? Like just like beach smell.
Yeah, I would like
that. Salt water kind of smell. And then maybe one smelled like Mountain Dew.
Ew.
No, okay, it was a joke. I'm not going to do that. Do you want to smell like something? You know what?
I'll try it.
The dudes might be okay with it.
Yeah.
It's just citrusy.
You'd have
anyway.
So many bugs flocking to you if you just smelled like a soda.
No,
the sticky sunscreen on.
It'd be sugar-free.
But guess what I have for that?
Bug spray.
I got a bug spray for that.
It also smells like Mountain Dew.
That also smells
like a different Mountain Dew.
Yeah, no, that would be crazy. I use a lot of sunscreen. Like I go through probably one of those cans every week and a half, 2 weeks.
Have you ever seen the meme? It's like a woman, an older woman who used sunscreen on her face every day. So her face looks amazing, but she didn't use it on her neck. And it shows like the
Really?
The difference between not using it and using it. It is stark. Every time I see that, I'm like, all right, I'm doubling my efforts.
Yeah. I mean, you're kind of in my range. I think I'm more pale than you, but you and I are more like, Andrew, you seem like you're better off.
Yeah, you seem like you get a tan.
I'm kind of olive skinned in general.
Yeah.
So I tan a little easier than I burn.
Yeah. Yeah. So Dave's like that too.
I think so.
I am definitely not.
Yeah. I will kid myself and be like, it just needs to burn once and then it turns into a tan. No. We just got to stop trying with that.
Yeah.
I have accepted the fact that I am pale.
Yeah, I did. You know, in college, it was an interesting challenge being in South Florida.
Yeah, I bet.
And, you know, the trainers would always be like, put sunscreen on. Because, like, being a college kid, I'm like, I don't want to put sunscreen on. And you do actually get what, you know, you get a base after a while where it's not going to be that bad. But
or maybe like your freckles just fill in.
No, that's what happens to me. That's what they do.
Me too. Like, I don't get tan. I just develop so many freckles it kind of looks tan.
That's me. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's just like one big freckle on my face. Just one on each cheek. So two total.
It's morphing together.
Yeah,
like,
they bleed together into a thing.
This is how tanning works.
Yeah, I'm tan. That's how it is. It's Wednesday on DGS. Obviously, I mentioned Dave is out attending to his mom. Got the call in the middle of the show yesterday that he probably needed over there, and he's spending the day over there as well. And, you know, we know she's been in hospice for several months now, and being 96 going on 97, certainly delicate period of time. So just keep Dave in mind, and he'll be back with us here, I would assume, in the not-too-distant future. But we're going to play it day by day at this point. We'll work into some more serious stuff. It's just weird. It's hard to get warmed up, you know, on these weird shows when you're following a ball game. I don't know why. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing, right? Like, you're starting a show after a top of the hour news, but it just doesn't have the same vibe. But we'll work into some of the more serious stuff in a second. Although, did you guys see that massive, like, geyser explosion at Yellowstone yesterday?
No.
Oh, my Lord. Did you see the video, Andrew? We don't have to play the audio because it's hard. It really gets just this lady saying, oh, my God, and swearing a few times. You really don't hear the explosion very well, but in the Biscuit Basin, which, by the way, is probably the best basin because biscuits are amazing.
Yeah.
But this geyser just exploded, and rock and dirt and water were going everywhere. It was, if I were there, you definitely are a moment of panic. Like, people are running. And to go through this area, you have to walk on, like, which essentially looks like a boardwalk.
Mm.
Like, you're walking out, like, you can't really walk to the sides of the boardwalk. It looks like a marshy, kind of watery, and it looked like a pond, really. And after it doesn't look like a pond. It looks like a bomb went off. Like, it's insane. And it made me think about it. Like, first of all, you've got all these people. There's kids in there, and everybody's just running because you have nothing else you can do. And you don't know, like, I mean, with rocks and stuff, you don't want rocks falling on you. You don't know I don't know if it was, if that's a, you know, the geyser where the water's hot or if it's just normal. I have no idea. But, I mean, you're going to run anyway when there's a massive explosion of anything near you. So it's like all these families running and kids running down the boardwalk. Have you guys ever been around anything like that where you're like, oh, my God, we better run. Like, we need to run and we need to run now.
Not in a serious way. A couple months ago when my power was out and I think a transformer like exploded outside my apartment, I saw it happen and I was like, and, like, ran back inside. But I think that was a severe overreaction. I just got kind of spooked there for a second.
You ever had that moment, Andrew, where you're like, oh, man, we have to run. We have to run right now.
Don't think so.
Yeah. The closest.
Don't put myself in a lot of situations. You know?
No. And it's like, that's kind of my point. Like, you see it in action movies all the time, right, where people are in a city street and the aliens are coming, what is it called? Cloverfield. Mm-hmm. And, like, everything's going crazy around you and people are like, oh, my God, we literally have to run for our lives right now. That is such a rare thing. Like, we see the videos. That was always one of the stark things about 9/11 was all these not necessarily. I mean, yes, the visual of the planes crashing into the building, the buildings coming down, but also the visions of people, like, running for their lives. Like, that is in your head right there. I have to run or I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just never in those situations. I think the closest thing that most people would have would be if you're out and a lightning storm breaks out and you maybe run for cover. You know, you run to get to your car or you run to get to some kind of shelter so that you're not, A, getting wet and, B, that low percentage chance of being struck by lightning. But that's not close to the same thing as an explosion right next to you. Right. Like, the closest thing I could think of as I thought about this was maybe being caught in a burst that popped up from a tropical storm when I was in college, and we had to sprint to get off the field and into the clubhouse because there's lightning everywhere and the wind was blowing things around. But that's not, it's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, the thought was not, oh boy, if I don't run, I might be dead. Like, that wasn't that thought. That has to be nuts.
Yeah, and it just shows, like, what comfortable lives most of us live that we've never been in an experience like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure law enforcement are involved in those things on somewhat, right? You know, military people are involved in those types of things. It's not a natural disaster necessarily, but, I mean, that you're having that moment, and that's what they're trained for, right? You're trained so that you don't have the moment of delay when something's going on, because the moment of delay could be too much of a delay. But just watching that video, and at first, you're looking at just the geyser explode, right? And you see water going up hundreds of feet into the air. You're seeing the dirt and the rocks. It just looks black. It looks like smoke, but it's dirt and rocks that are going up. And you're seeing that, and you're like, your eyes are on that, and you're like, oh my God, that's crazy. But then you start to watch it a couple more times. You're looking down on the ground now, and you're seeing, like, all these people, like, oh my God, it is time to run. And there's, like, little kids. There's, like, one little kid in the background who, like, everybody started running, and he's, like, trailing behind. I don't know how little he was. He might be 7 or something like that.
They're like,
but, like, he's trailing behind a little bit.
Fend for yourself.
Like, you're on your own, kid. Although the kid's probably faster than his parents because those little guys are fast. But still, it's like, that's such an unusual thing to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that video was stunning. If you haven't seen the video, it's all over Twitter. It's probably all over every social media because it was just stunning visual. And on that kind of a similar thing, you know, you don't normally see those things, but I saw another video, and I don't know how true this is. So believe me, this is not me reporting anything. This is not me breaking any news or offering any kind of scientific analysis whatsoever. But I saw another clip yesterday of somebody talking about how much of the country would be impacted if there was a major earthquake on the New Madrid Fault, right? Because that's obviously right here. And we obviously in this area would be in the zone of massive destruction. And this is if the big one hits, right? Not just any, you know, earthquake, but if the big one were to hit. We're all in the area. So basically from like Springfield, Illinois, all the way down into Arkansas and in a big old circle, like into Tennessee and out west, this would be the massive destruction zone. But St. Louis would be right in the middle of that. But it showed that the rings of destruction would even reach like the East Coast.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Like the Carolinas. Yep. And then, and again, every with each kind of ring you go out, there's less and less damage. But like, that's how bad, how far it would be felt if the big one hit that fault line, which is what, just to the east of here? Like, not much east?
Oh, well, it's a while to the east, isn't it?
Is it? Well, I mean, by not much, I mean like an hour, 2 hours, something like that. I mean, we're not far from it. We would be in the very, very danger zone.
And not to be a downer, but aren't we like overdue for an earthquake on the New Madrid
Fault? That's what they said in the video. That was the whole point. Like, it's been over 200 years.
All right.
I'm not saying, again, I just thought it was fascinating.
Yeah.
On the disaster comp when we're talking about the geyser, I'm not sitting here going, guys, prepare because it's coming, because I don't have any idea.
Go to Costco and get your...
Yeah. Don't do any prepping because of me.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's 3:30 here on DGS. That means it's time to hear from our friend Dave Murray. Hello, Dave. How you doing?
Hello there. Talking about the New Madrid Fault, huh?
Yeah. Oh, so what did I say anything really right or wrong?
A little bit, but not much.
What did I get right?
Okay, well, the fault line itself is about 150 miles long. The center of this thing, if there was a major quake, it would be southeast Missouri, extreme southern Illinois.
Okay.
But we are along that fault. And we, you're right, Rachel mentioned we're overdue, but we've been overdue for a long time. You know, since the 90s, they've been talking about, hey, we're overdue. And I guess we are. It's a different kind of fault line when you think about the Ring of Fire along the Pacific Ocean,
right?
Both all sides of the world. They're plates. They're plates of the Earth that kind of rub together and they go up and down.
Mm-hmm.
The New Madrid Fault is like if you took a dinner plate and you took a little ball hammer and snapped it right in the middle and it cracked out like that. That's
okay.
What the New Madrid's all about.
Okay, so did I get anything terribly wrong?
No.
Good. I wasn't trying to be like, I wasn't trying to make predictions. It was just an interesting thing following the Yellowstone story that I had seen on the same day. And I'm like, oh, those kind of go together. But it is interesting, right? Like, we at almost all times in most places, there's something that could hit, but it's just, you don't know for sure.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. That's what makes life fun.
How does
that's what makes life fun.
Keep it interesting. How does Dave the New Madrid Fault, how does that compare to like San Andreas Fault? Like how are they similar, different?
No, two very, very different animals.
Okay.
But you know, there's more frequent action along the San Andreas Fault
right.
compared to the New Madrid Fault. But yeah, we get little rumbles from time to time. You can hear about a 2.5 or a 3.1, something like that. And there's like hundreds of little fault lines all through St. Louis.
Really? So is that were you still active when the last ones hit, right? That there was a pretty decent sized one.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad.
That woke me up and freaked me out.
We were lucky enough. Luckily, I had a management team that saw the need for it. We were one of two stations with our own seismograph. There was a station in L.A. that has one, the ABC affiliate, and we in St. Louis had one. And I loved using the thing. It's great.
Yeah. So these are all these kinds of things, these natural sciences. How are they at all related to weather? Or are they just natural sciences and kind of how the world works?
My belief is everything is interconnected somehow.
Interesting.
You know, what goes on inside the Earth, what goes on above the Earth and along the Earth are all interrelated somehow. How? Not sure. But I do believe that they are interrelated.
I mean, they are definitely connected in some way, right? I mean,
sure.
There's no question that it's the Earth and something that impacts the Earth is impacting, you know, all of the Earth.
Right. You know, something that happens way over on the other side of the world has an impact on our weather and just everything that goes on.
All right. One last stupid guy question, and then we'll do the weather. Just give me, I know what I think about it. I think it's ridiculous, but I want to get the professional's view on how people talk about things like a butterfly effect. Is that total nonsense, or is there any? I don't mean like, you know, the butterfly actually flaps his wings and impacts the weather, but like,
well, it's kind of like, you know, yes, I do believe that there are, you know, everything is interrelated and connected. So yeah, something. What? And that's why I look at global weather patterns. Just
right.
Hey, what's coming over the Rockies? You have to look at everything and ocean temperatures and all that stuff to try to tie the puzzle together.
It just has to meet a certain magnitude to have an impact, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Hey, I don't think a butterfly flap has any problem, but you know what? You know,
thank God for butterflies, man. You can't trust them.
That's true.
All right, so how are we looking, Dave? We're not quite to the weekend yet, but how are we looking the next few days?
Today by far, I'll go into the weekend too. Are you ready for this? It's the last weekend of July. Do you believe that?
It has gone by fast.
It has gone by fast.
It has. Two-a-days coming real soon. As far as our weather, we have a little front coming through tomorrow. It's going to take all day to get here. It's not very strong. Does not have a huge impact on our weather. But today is the hottest day of the week. 90, 91 today. We're hovering around that right now. We'll be a couple of degrees cooler after that. So in the 80s on Thursday, Friday, and over the weekend. With the front in play tomorrow, I still got to kind of think of spot or isolated thunderstorms. The key there is that if you get under one, much like we saw yesterday, there'll be heavy downpours of rain and some lightning in a couple of spots. 87 Friday, mainly just a sunny day, 86 degrees. Can't believe I'm talking 86 degrees, the end of July.
Nice.
The weekend, partly sunny skies, spot thunderstorms around on Saturday, but a lot of dry time, 86. Sunday, I think we'll see a little uptick in scattered thunderstorms. No all-day rain, but a little uptick in the action, 88 degrees and still on tap to see temperatures into the 90s all of next week, starting out low 90s, mid-90s by the middle of next week and maybe upper 90s by the end of next week. And also, we mentioned this yesterday, hurricane season does look like after a fast start, we've gone kind of just blah. Nothing's been going on.
Yeah, it hasn't it?
Yeah, I do think there's going to be a major uptick in hurricane action the first and second weeks of August, and the peak is in September. So the season should really start to come alive again.
Yeah, we learned the, I don't know if I remember the exact rhyme, but the rhyme when we were down in Florida, like September, remember, October, yep. It's over, that kind of thing. But exactly. August and September seem to be when the worst ones hit.
Exactly, exactly.
Like that was when, so 1992, Dave, was Hurricane Andrew, and that's when we were in school. Thankfully, we had not reached South Florida at the time that it hit, so we stayed up in like the Tampa area and didn't get much damage there. But campus was shut down for at least a month after that, and we drove down there the day after, which was the dumbest thing ever. But, you know, when you're a college person, you're pretty dumb. And it was like going through
a war zone,
man. That worked. It was crazy, man. Like boats on top of buildings.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 100-year-old trees covering the streets. It was nuts.
And that was a very, very tight storm system. The damage was, you know, you go 150 miles to the north, there was very little damage.
Nope.
It was all really centered right on the eye of that storm.
Even a little less than that, because we ended up going in after we got down to campus, which was right in the middle of it, right? Coral Gables is right in the middle of Miami,
sure.
Right? The worst damage was actually south. It was Homestead. But still, where we were was pretty bad. But yeah, we went up to the Palm Beaches afterward. They were fine.
Right, nothing. Yeah, my folks lived down there at that point.
Yeah.
And it was like nothing. Nothing.
Not up there, it wasn't. No, it was pretty good. All right, Rachel, let's hit some headlines.
All right, headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Wisconsin will soon allow residents to carry a gun when they go fishing. There's been a ban on the practice since 1999, but they are rescinding that after a legal challenge from gun rights advocates. While you can now carry a gun, you are still prohibited from firing it at the fish.
Oh, well, then what's the point? No, I wonder if it was initially like people would bring like a shotgun with all kinds of pellets and just that seems like, you know, good chance. You know, I hate getting fish bones, you know, when you're eating fish. I wouldn't want to catch a pellet.
Disney has reached a tentative deal with their theme park workers in California, roughly 14,000 workers at its California theme parks. The deal averts what would have been the first major Disneyland strike in 40 years. It covers four different unions and includes positions like ride operators, parking attendants, and candy makers. Workers will vote on the deal on Monday.
Wouldn't it have been pretty funny to see a walkout of all of the characters?
Yeah.
Like all the people in
character. See Mickey on the line.
Sorry, the cast members in character. Right, seeing Cinderella and Mickey and all that walkout.
What were they striking over? Does it say?
I mean, sure, it's pay and benefits and things, like normal things. Probably also, can you help us when the Karens go crazy?
Yeah.
Get us a little help here when that happens. Because, look, I loved it. I have never been to Disneyland, Dave. I don't know if you've been to Disney World. I've been all to Disney World.
Yeah, I've been. Yeah, Disney World is great. Disneyland, only been once. That was with our grandson. It's okay. But if you've been to Disney World, Disneyland is like, okay.
Okay, so it's like the little brother kind of thing.
Yeah, that's the way I looked at it anyway.
It is simultaneously the happiest and angriest place on earth. It is both. I'm not a Disney hater by any means. You know, my wife is a big Disney file. She loves it. And I don't mind the Magic Kingdom. It's fine. I'd rather not be there unless I'm going into the Star Wars area, which I have not visited yet. I prefer Epcot. I'm a more of a Universal Studios kind of like, let's get on the roller coasters type dude. But you'll see both. You will see the happiest human beings in the world and the angriest human beings in the world all right there.
Yeah, because they just spent so much money and they're like, I'm not having the time of my life.
And it's hot.
Yeah,
and your kids are really upset. Like, and yeah, it's crazy.
Speaking of spending a lot of money, Elon Musk says he's not giving $45 million a month to Donald Trump. He said this in an interview with Jordan Peterson. He said the report, which first appeared in the Wall Street Journal, was, quote, simply not true.
Interesting. So now I don't know.
Especially after his earnings report.
Yeah. Now there was some. There's a lot of like, and I'm not getting into it, but there's a lot of like conspiracy stuff. Like, oh, he's trying to buy a spot in, you know, the government
in the cabinet or something.
Yeah. But I'm not getting into that. But I wonder if there's also like a word game going, because it sounded to me more like it was money going to a political action committee, which may or may not be directly going to Donald Trump's campaign. So I don't know if there's word games being played there, but it was interesting because there's video of Elon saying, nope, that's not happening. Which, you know, and Donald Trump actually mentioned during a stump speech, see, Elon's giving us $45 million. I don't know what's going on there. But it sounds like he's saying no, right?
He's saying it's simply not true.
Hmm.
So we'll see. We'll see how that all shakes out. All right, a pro surfer lost their leg in a shark attack off the coast of Australia. 23-year-old Kai McKenzie was attacked while surfing at North Shore Beach in New South Wales on Tuesday when a 15-foot shark latched onto his right leg. He was able to fight the shark off but lost his leg in the process. It did wash back up on shore, and authorities are hoping it can be reattached.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did not expect that to be part of the story.
Why are you laughing at that?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was a weird laugh.
The phrase washed back up on shore tickled
the
me.
The visual is pretty weird,
The visual of them being like, oh, here it is.
Hey, oh, I hope that's my leg.
Do you think this is that guy's leg that lost his leg? No, this is a left leg. He lost his right. Throw it back out to sea.
A 103-year-old World War II veteran is finally getting his veterans benefits 78 years after he was discharged from the Army. 103-year-old Louis Gigolotti says he never realized he could use his VA card for free health care. He finally started receiving benefits after a family member who serves as his caretaker realized the mistake.
Oh.
Yeah, he was a medical technician for the Army in World War II and was recently honored at the Alaska Veterans Museum.
I mean, good. I'm glad they figured it out.
Pay him back.
Give him back pay or,
Dave. They didn't spend all that money all those years. Give him a check.
An escalator caught fire at JFK Airport. Authorities say it caught fire in Terminal 8, forcing about 100 people to evacuate due to smoke. 9 people were treated for minor smoke inhalation, but no major injuries were reported. And more than 250 flights were delayed as a result.
Lots of delays lately. And I was going to say that the airports are like Disney, but there's nobody's happiest.
Nobody's happy at an airport.
It's just all the angry. And when I'm there, I'm in a shell. Like, I just put on my headphones. I'm just like not paying attention to anything. Just get me on the plane. Get me off the plane. I don't want to deal with everything else.
I think that's the best way to be. Let's do one more story before we go to break. The 2034 Winter Olympics will be held in Salt Lake City. It's pretty cool. They previously hosted the Winter Games in 2002. They get to do it again.
Yeah, this time it sounds like they did it on the up and up. There are a lot of stories about how that went down the first time.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if they're true or not.
All I know is there was a Mary-Kate and Ashley movie that took place in the Winter Olympics in Salt Lake City, and that is the extent of my knowledge about the event.
I bet we're all going to go watch that.
Oh, yeah. It's really good.
Dave, thank you.
Alrighty.
All right, Wednesday on TGS. Dave's out, obviously. We told you yesterday, attending to some things with his mom, and we're just doing the normal thing in his absence. Rachel here, Andrew here, I'm here, and we will take you through till 5 o'clock tonight. Let's do some more headlines, Rach.
Absolutely. So the Trump campaign is making a big change after this month's attempted assassination. No more big outdoor rallies, according to NBC News. They will be participating only in indoor rallies and possibly smaller outdoor events, utilizing venues with easy-to-secure entrances and no higher ground nearby. This comes at the urging of the Secret Service, who apparently views indoor rallies as more easily controlled. I think this is an excellent idea.
I have always been surprised that they did as many outdoor venues as they did. Although, again, it depends. If you're in spots where there are no raised vantage points or, you know, anything that's outside of what you can secure, that could be a dangerous spot. But I'm no expert. I've always felt like, wow, they must be pretty confident that they can control this. I'm glad there's an adjustment after what happened.
You think that this hurts them?
I don't think so.
No,
like
I don't.
Smaller
think so.
Rallies, you don't think it makes a difference?
They don't have to be smaller. Some of those venues are pretty big indoors.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any way you can do it, learn from that kind of mistake and adjust moving forward.
Absolutely.